Invite you to please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, as we gather this morning, we thank you for this day, the blessing that you give, especially the blessing of your light that shines through your word, through scriptures, through our living Savior. Lord, help us to not wander off of that well-lit path, but to stay on it and follow you as you lead us safely home. So Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts will be pleasing to you, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. Before becoming an astronaut, Navy pilot Jim Lovell completed more than 100 successful aircraft carrier landings. Now, most of us don't remember Jim Lovell because of his Navy career as a pilot. We remember him more so because of his flight in command of that infamous Apollo 13 mission. That was to go and collect moon rock and bring it back, but they had the explosion on board, and so then it turned into a survival mission. In his book and in the movie Apollo 13, Lovell recalls a memory from his Navy days. Lovell states that while he was flying an F-2H Banshee off the coast of Japan one evening in 1953, he faced this life and death decision. You see, his instrument panel had totally failed, and eventually his radio also went out. So he's essentially flying blind with no lights, no communication, no radar. And he had thought about, in the midst of that flight, of ejecting. But then he looked out the window, and he saw something unique there in the vastness of the dark Pacific Ocean. Lovell saw a blanket of a thick green carpet of phosphorescent algae that had surfaced on the water. Now this green algae, it only comes up and it only glows like that when it's churned up from the propeller of a large ship like an aircraft carrier that he would eventually land on as he used that green glow safely home. The reason I bring up this story is because King David, in our Old Testament lesson from 2 Samuel 22, also knows a lot about finding a path which leads to safety. See, by the time we get to 2 Samuel 22, King David is nearing the end of his life. So many times in Bible studies and in Sunday school, we never talk about this section of his life. We always like to bring up and put him up on this pedestal as a hero of the Bible because that mighty little shepherd boy took down the giant Goliath with a slingshot and a single smooth stone. But David should be no one's hero. David was by no means one who you and I should look to for advice on fatherhood or just life in general. Yes, I know God chose David, specifically chose him to be the king and chose his family line to be the line in which the Savior of the world would come. But you also need to know that David lived a large chunk of his life in the darkness of sin. David had suffered consequences of his many sins. Sleeping with another woman's wife, getting her pregnant, and then having her husband killed because he wouldn't go and sleep with her when he had told her to make it look like it was his baby and not David's, is just the beginning of things David did. The prophet Nathan calls David out on that sin. And in the midst of the darkness of his guilt, David begs God in Psalm 51 for forgiveness. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit with me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And upon David's recognition of his sin, upon David's confession of his sin, just like happens here every Sunday morning, God forgave David. But David still had to suffer with the consequences of his sin. He because that child that he would have with Bathsheba would eventually die. Now, if we fast forward in David's life, we get to David's son, Absalom. And Absalom wants revenge on his father for his father's, really his lack of fatherhood, his lack of being a good dad. Because you see, David's daughter, Absalom's sister, Tamar, had been raped by one of David's oldest sons. And David did absolutely nothing about it. Absalom, in revenge, killed this son who committed the rape. Afraid for his life, Absalom flees. He leaves Jerusalem, gets out of town, and he stays away, hoping everything will calm down. Well, after being away for about 3 years, Absalom develops this following. He falsely got people to believe that he was king. And he developed this army. And after 3 years, he takes his army and goes back to Jerusalem to overthrow it. His father, David, is in fear of this. And so he flees the city. He gets out of town. But he leaves a command. He says, "Whatever you do, don't hurt my son." And in the process of trying to escape David's army, Absalom, riding his mule, goes underneath a tree, and his long golden lock-like hair gets caught on a tree branch. And there he is, hanging from it as his mule runs off. David told his army, "Don't touch him." But yet there, hanging in that tree from his long hair, Absalom is killed. And once David finds out, he once again finds himself back in this deep darkness of his sin. Now, as we get closer to our reading, David finds himself in the midst of a couple of wars with neighboring kingdoms because they believe, hey, the old man's getting even older and he's getting weaker and things are falling apart in his life. Now is the time to attack. But David, as he flees, he has no idea what's going to happen. But even though he doesn't know what's going to happen next, he knows one thing for sure. He knows that he is God's chosen one. God's chosen one whom the promised Messiah would eventually come. And so even though David is suffocating in the pitch black darkness of his sin and amidst his anxiety, God does something absolutely amazing for him. God, through his prophets and by God's action, shows David the light, the absolute amazing light of God's love, of his mercy, of his forgiveness. And in response to the deliverance which God gives to David, David speaks to the Lord the words of this song as David says, "You, Lord, are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light." You see, God, through his amazing love for his children, for his chosen ones, he restores them. He guides them back onto his path, a path of light that leads to eternal life. You and I, our circumstances are totally different than David's, but we're not too different than him. We easily can find ourselves in the midst of days of darkness, and some days are darker than others. We have days where it seems like nothing, absolutely nothing can go right. Days where bad news is followed up with even more bad news and more bad news. Days where a doctor gives a heart-wrenching diagnosis. Days when loved ones suddenly die. And it's in those dark days of difficulty you and I need to and will want to remember that God is our only true source of light. As David's saying, "You, Lord, are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light." And these words of David should remind us of some other words that David actually wrote earlier on in his life, words that we actually said at the beginning of the service, that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? This time in our Old Testament reading from 2 Samuel, it's not the only time David's ever been in the dark. It's a place that David found himself frequently. And we too find ourselves in this dark place on different occasions. And in those different occasions, we may, like Jim Lovell, we may want to try to eject ourselves from the situation, eject ourselves from the day entirely if we could. And in our dark and uncertain days, it's easy to panic. Jim Lovell could have easily panicked in that airplane, but he didn't. We could easily panic, and we may even want to just give in to that paralyzing fear. Most of the fears which you and I experience, I believe, are rooted in the belief that there is something around the corner which will prove too much for me. You and I fear that the events of tomorrow will overwhelm us, that they'll leave us devastated. But here's the thing. If the Lord is my light and my salvation, if He's my stronghold, whom shall we fear? I mean, really, no one knows what tomorrow holds. No one knows what the future will be. We know that we're going to be tempted, and we know that we're going to face trials, but we also know that God is there with us, and He will give us a way out through His Son. That's exactly what God does. God gives us the light that we need one day at a time, relying totally on Him. It sounds easy, but all we need to know is that God is God and I'm not. We need to trust that He is and always will be in charge, and that He knows what He's doing. David sings that this God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. This God in whom David trusts in, it's the very same God that you trust in. He's the God who brings the light of Christ into this dark and dreadful world. This God is the one who brings the light of Christ's love and forgiveness to the dark hearts of sinners like you and me. This light of Christ could and never can be extinguished. Even when the darkness of death totally surrounded Christ, when He was hanging there on the cross, when He was laid there in that tomb, even when the prince of darkness, Satan himself, is doing his little dancing victory jig, it was short-lived. Because the darkness didn't last long. The light of Christ, the light of God, the light of perfection and power and love for all sinners, for you and for me, shone forth from that tomb as Christ walked out of it, perfect and alive. And this light of Christ is given to you. It's given to you to help you through your daily life. This light isn't some sort of a false security for us to lean on. This light isn't just another figment of our imagination, a feel-good type of thing. This light of Christ says to you that God is with you, that you are forgiven, you are His precious child. And even though you and I may walk through these times of darkness, a time of uncertainty, Jesus says, don't be anxious. Cast all your concerns, all your burdens on me. The light of Christ Himself, living within each and every one of you, illuminates your path. It's a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. Which is kind of like the algae for Jim Long. It's shining. The path that Christ shines in us, it's shining. It may seem like it's just glowing a little bit, but it's still there. As the true light of God is guiding you to the eternal safety, your eternal life.